Springbok Radio proudly presents Tales from the Seven Seas. Stories specially written for this series by Annette McKenzie and Jack Mullen, and introduced by Hamish McLeod.
We've all heard the expression, the bold buccaneer, and in the 17th century there were a fair number of buccaneers around. But very often there seemed to be no dividing line between a buccaneer and a pirate. And it would be very difficult to say which of these names would most accurately describe Henry Morgan. There are many contradictory stories of his early life, but for the world, his real career began when he arrived in Jamaica and joined the Brethren of the Coast, the title which the buccaneers were known by. I've called my story The Rise of Morgan.
So, your name is Morgan and you want to join the Brethren of the Coast.
Which is why I've come to you, Captain Mansfield. I've been told that you lead the Brethren.
Well, then. Isaac!
Oh, yes? I don't know who you are, Isaac, but you're a brave man to draw your sword on me! On your knees.
You thought to take me unawares, but now your sword is lying on the deck, and mine is tickling your throat. Say your prayers, Isaac.
Enough.
When I slit his throat from air to air, that will be enough.
You are a member of the Brethren, Morgan. You will obey. Isaac, pick up your sword. He has passed the test.
No man before has dropped the sword from my hand.
You were too slow, unprepared for his tricks.
Too slow, was I? Then we'll see who's faster this time.
Sit down and sheathe your sword. He's a member of the Brethren. Sit. You too, Morgan. The first rule is loyalty to each other. The second, we count no risk when gain is the objective. And if a man lose a limb or be otherwise injured when he is serving the Brethren honorably, he will be given the means to live out his life in comfort. The third rule, all orders will be obeyed without question. Do you agree to serve the Brethren?
I agree.
The rules which Captain Mansfield enumerated embodied the code by which the Brethren lived. There is no doubt that they had courage, that they were quick-witted and feared nothing. Their oath of loyalty binding them together made them a formidable striking force. And they did look after their own, providing funds so that those crippled in engagements and no longer able to follow their calling could live in comfort for the rest of their lives. But that was where the pity ended. For they showed little compassion to their foes. And in case some of you may be wondering, the difference between a buccaneer and a pirate was this. That whereas pirates attacked any ship that happened to come in sight, buccaneers were given letters of marque, as they were called. This was permission from a governor or king or any such authority for the buccaneers to attack the enemies of that authority. So by the custom of the time, the Brethren were engaged in legal business, though they didn't always keep it legal. Morgan was a perfect candidate and soon became Captain Mansfield's second in command.
Are all my ship's captains here?
We are all here, all 14 of us, and waiting to hear why you have called us.
You know that war has broken out between Holland and England. Our patron, the governor of Jamaica, fears an attack and so prefers to strike first. He has issued me with letters of marque, commissioning me to sail my fleet of 15 ships and 600 men against the Dutch island of Curaçao.
There may be war between Holland and England, but the Dutch have never been our enemies.
Well said, Bernardine. War or no war, we know who the real enemies are. They always have been, and they always will be, and nothing at all to that. I don't even have to say the name for you all to know it.
The yes. Spanish.
Silence!
Silence!
We're all in agreement as to who the enemy really is. And if the governor of Jamaica hasn't realized it, what's that to us? If he's put Curacao on his letters of marque, that's his mistake, not ours. But we have instructions to attack. The question is, where?
Santa Catarina.
Santa Catarina?
Give us your reasons, Morgan.
The island was British as far back as 1630. It was a goodly colony in the making, so the Spaniards, after a series of attacks, captured and held it. And hold it still. It would be an honorable thing to wrest it from Spanish clutches.
But England and Spain are at peace.
Huh. That would stop us from taking the island?
What I'm asking is, when the two countries are at peace, what good would it do to retake the island? What good would it do us? What would we get out of it?
Morgan will tell us. Why, Santa Catarina?
There are important people on Santa Catarina. Important Spaniards who have a treasure trove of jewels. And gold.
The attack on the garrison at Santa Catarina was led by Morgan, of whose personal daring there can be no doubt. But there's little doubt either that it was the thought of plunder which led him to suggest the attack in the first place. The mission was entirely successful. The Spanish garrison surrendered, and the captured soldiers were taken aboard and landed at Costa Rica. Of course, there was the slight problem of how the brethren would explain to the governor of Jamaica why they had attacked Santa Catarina and not Curaçao.
Morgan.
Yes, Captain.
You're an able member of the Brethren. You've proved your worth in a fight. Is your tongue as nimble as your sword?
The sword is faster and never lies.
But the sword is not the weapon to use against the governor of Jamaica.
The governor?
It's you who'll have to face him, Morgan. My time is running out. I doubt that I'll see Jamaica again.
You speak of dying?
I am dying. You'll take command of the Brethren and deal with the governor. What will you tell him, Morgan? That you mistook Santa Catarina for Curaçao?
But
remember, he's our patron. We need him. I leave it to you.
To explain this act to the government in England.
Tell them what I told you. We found ourselves unable to engage the Dutch at Curaçao, and not wishing to return empty-handed, we retook an island which had been stolen from England and is rightfully hers.
But England and Spain are at peace.
For how long? You've heard the rumors just as I have. In Madrid, plans are afoot to capture Jamaica. This very island of which you are governor.
Yes. I've heard the rumors.
And if they're true, how will you defend yourself? Without the Brethren to protect it, this island is a plum ready for the plucking. Tell them that in your dispatches to England. Tell them that Spanish hands are stretching for Jamaica.
In the uneasy peace which existed between Spain and England, neither side trusted the other. And there's no doubt that Spain was contemplating an attack on Jamaica. But when the attack came, it was not as expected. For one ship only raided the island's coast under the authority of the Spanish governor, Santiago de Cuba. Little damage was done, but the Spanish captain was careful to leave an insulting message for Henry Morgan, leader of the Brethren.
The men are waiting for your orders, Captain Morgan. They're waiting to wipe out the Spanish insult.
And wipe it out we will. Their puny little raid. One ship. But it'll cost them dear. That I promise.
When? And how?
Now that a peace treaty has been signed by the Dutch, all our energies must be directed to keeping a close watch on the Spaniards. So says the governor.
A watch on the Spaniards?
So says the governor.
And what does Morgan say?
Morgan says that he will teach the Spaniards a lesson that they will never forget. Call the captains of the fleet. We sail on the tide. Ah, three Spanish merchantmen. A small bite to whet our appetites before the feast begins.
Gunners at the ready.
Spanish men of war! Three we'll send to the bottom, and a fourth I'll have as my flagship. Rush! Gunners at the ready! Fire!
As he'd promised to do, Morgan claimed one of the Spanish men of war for his flagship and sank the other three. Just as he'd sunk the three merchantmen and every other Spanish ship which had the misfortune to encounter the Brethren's fleet. He took what plunder there was, each time describing it as a small bite to whet the appetite for the feast. And the feast he had in mind was Panama and the wealth it contained.
The gateway to the Isthmus of Panama is the River Chagres. The estuary is well defended, so they tell me, by a large garrison in a strongly built fort. Now, we will send an advance party of the Brethren to show the Spaniards the weakness of their defenses. Remnants of this fort, lest the Spaniards should think to attack us in the rear. And these canoes will transport the rest of us up the river. And remember, the riches of Panama are waiting. Panama!
Morgan's expedition to Panama to call the fabled loyalty and courage of the Brethren. And despite their cruelty and their acts of piracy, no one could criticize their bravery and tenacity under the worst of circumstances. They were able to navigate the river only a short way, but even with light canoes, progress became impossible, and so they had to land and march. Morgan knew the deadly climate would present a terrible obstacle. 200 years later, the builders of the Panama Canal discovered just how deadly the climate was. But for Morgan and his men, worse even than the climate was the lack of food. For the Spaniards, hearing of their advance, had fled, leaving nothing edible behind, and assumed that the Brethren would perish from starvation. For 10 days, the men fought their way through swamp and forest, over mountain and hill, reduced to eating leather pouches in their extremity of hunger. And then, with parched throats and empty stomachs, they caught their first glimpse of the Pacific Ocean.
Yonder, Captain Morgan. Spaniards, outnumbering us by at least 3 to 1.
Huh?
We'll fight them. But our men are dropping from hunger and thirst. What chance?
You speak like a sniveling yellow-bellied coward. We have come to take Panama, and take it we will.
We're no cowards, Captain Morgan. We've taken the oath of the brethren, and we'll fight till the death. But we're too weak to stand. We need
Captain
food.
Captain Morgan! Look what they're doing! They've loosed a herd of fools!
Fools?
They're coming this way! A herd of fools!
Look there! Food, men! Food!
The Spaniards are sending us food!
It's a fact that the Spaniards thought a herd of bulls would finish off the brethren. But the starving men saw no danger in the deadly horns. They saw only the meat which could save their lives.
Spanish ambassador, Your Majesty.
Your Majesty.
I bid you welcome.
Your Majesty, I come here to make the strongest protest against the villainy perpetrated on Panama by men who are your subjects.
The Brethren of the Coast? The Buccaneers? But surely you are aware that the Brethren are drawn from all nations, all classes. They are men of divergent sympathies, bound together by a kind of Freemasonry of the sea.
That is true, Your Majesty. But they are led by Henry Morgan, who is, without doubt, your subject. He was the instigator of a raid on Panama, which was plundered and left in flames. Spain demands that due punishment be meted out to this man.
I will give immediate orders that Henry Morgan shall be brought home to England to face trial.
Thank you, Your Majesty.
Your Majesty, Morgan's exploit has fired the imagination of the entire country. Indeed, his march to Panama has astonished the world, and the return journey.
But the Spaniards do not find his exploit praiseworthy. And at this time, a war with Spain would be most inadvisable.
To bring Morgan to trial will cause great discontent throughout the nation. Whether we are at war or peace, Spain is the enemy. Memories are long, and the cruelties practiced by the Spaniards on the seamen of Drake's time have never been forgotten, nor have the terrors of the Inquisition. To the Spaniards, Morgan may be a pirate, but to the people, he is a hero.
I am aware of popular feeling, and I confess that Morgan's courage appeals to me, as does the sacking of Panama. After all, peace or no peace, Spain was contemplating seizing Jamaica.
Then you will rescind the order recalling Morgan?
No, I shall not. One must consider the feelings of the Spanish ambassador.
I never thought I'd live to see the day, Captain Morgan. Here you are, under arrest, sailing on another man's ship. And as meek as a lamb going to the slaughter.
You think they'll hang me, do you? Hang me for piracy?
It's the usual sentence. But why did you agree to go to London? King's orders or no king's orders, why did you agree? That's what we can't understand.
There are some things that can't be explained, Isaac. Take you and me, for example. I remember the first day we met. Captain Mansfeld shouted your name and you came at me with your sword. I'd have slit your throat that day if he hadn't stopped me. And you would have slit mine if you had had the chance.
What's that got to do with it? It was a long time ago. And haven't I served you faithfully since you've been the leader?
We've all served faithfully. All the brethren of the coast. Let them call me pirate, those who dare. Let the king himself call me pirate. And I'll have the answer ready for him.
A little closer, Henry Morgan.
Your Majesty.
I heard of the welcome which awaited you when your ship docked. Rumor has it that the booty you collected in Panama made the privations of the journey well worthwhile.
The booty was distributed amongst the brethren, those who survived. We earned it, and we'll defend our right to it against any man.
Even the Spanish ambassador? He it was who insisted that you be brought to trial for pillage and murder. A grave offense, Mr. Morgan. A very grave offense.
A greater offense would have been for the Spaniards taking Jamaica. One ship raided the island, and that ship cost them Panama.
You must have a great fondness for Jamaica to exact such retribution for a solitary Spanish raid. And perhaps a just punishment would be to make you entirely responsible for its safety. Therefore, I appoint you governor of our island of Jamaica.
Governor?
Neil. History records that when the Spaniards demanded the head of Francis Drake, Queen Elizabeth took a sword and knighted him, as I now knight you. Arise, Sir Henry Morgan.
Sir Henry Morgan, Governor? Maybe it's a worse punishment than being hanged.
I've turned respectable, Isaac. I've turned respectable. And let any man dare to call me pirate now. A publisher in London had the temerity.
And was his death the quick one?
He still lives, as far as I know.
Still lives? You let him live?
I brought an action against him, in court. And they awarded me £200 damages.
What's happened to you, Captain Morgan? An action in court? You're the leader of the Brethren.
I was. But no more. No, I have other work to see to now, Isaac. Morgan the Buccaneer is now Morgan the Governor. Sir Henry Morgan, the Governor.
On taking up his appointment, Morgan used his influence to suppress piracy and restrict the activities of the Brethren. So it has been said that he often aided his old comrades by investing money in their expeditions, and that's probably the truth. But he did make a good governor, although many still regarded him as an ex-pirate who by luck had escaped hanging. Aye, the 17th century was a bloodthirsty age. I was going to say different from our own, but when you look around the world, maybe not all that different.
You've been listening to Tales from the Seven Seas, written by Annette McKenzie and Jack Mullen. Listen next week at the same time to another enthralling story of the sea, produced by Andre Botman.